What If It's Cool is proudly brought to you by Respo Clothing. Feel like a champion by wearing the merch from all the stars, including Luke Resner, B Squared, Savannah Rowe, John Stop Action, Nova Nichols, The Cooters, and my personal favorite, Conflict Axiom. So feel like a champion by checking out Respo Clothing. They can be found on Facebook and on Instagram. Want to step in the ring? Well, here's your chance to learn from some of the best. APW Academy is holding out their tryouts on April 21st at the Adrenaline Zone. Registration and information is in the description for you to become the next breakout star. Adrenaline Pro Wrestling presents Breakout 40, happening on April 26th, featuring the up-and-coming stars of Adrenaline Pro Wrestling. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out.
MXW presents Game Over, happening on Saturday, April 27th at the Sunbury Memorial Hall. Ticket link is in the description. Make sure to check it out.
Hello and welcome to What If It's Cool, the show where we talk about anything and everything that's cool in the world today. I am getting a happy ending, Daniel Porfo. And
happy endings, you say? Yeah. Are we doing something for OnlyFans boys? Are we,
Oh, sure. Yeah.
All right. I think you might want to cut the camera here.
Oh, well, let's go cut it normally here when we say. Yeah. So sit back, relax, and enjoy rubs and tugs. And all I get is all guys' numbers with Happy Kai.
Happy Kai. Firstly, I want to apologize because we rescheduled this interview several times. But the last one wasn't my fault. It was and as blasphemous as my time, we can blame God for this because we had a power outage and three f-ing huge trees crashed outside my house. So that was not fun.
That's not good.
Nah, I'm really glad I was safe and because the biggest tree that fell. Usually there's a whole bunch of kids that are playing out there. And thank God it was, just before school ends, so no one was there. So thank God that nothing happened there. Well, Abby, how are you doing firstly?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. I'm happy to be here. Very honored. And when you reached out to me to do this, because I think a couple of months ago you had JXT on.
Yep.
And I'm like, this must be like a big shot podcast because if you got JXT on, and I'm like, pretty happy to, it's in the name. So I'm pretty happy to be here.
Yeah, no, I like to have everyone on. I like to tell people stories, love to shoot the shit. But sorry, Pierce Austin, I know that's your stick. I don't mean to steal that catchphrase, but just to, just tell people stories and just have fun because like there's so much negativity out there in the world. I'd rather be very positive. And if we do talk about negativity, it's how we rose above it. And that's the whole purpose of this show. We have been talking off camera a lot and you have proposed me a challenge to guess what your Nash is. And now originally, I was always like when I first saw you, before I even saw your name or anything, I was going to say Philo, but obviously I'm wrong on that one, I'm guessing.
Yep, I get that so many times, man. Like, I walk out and then, like, I'll go to like a couple of years ago, I went to a Filipino fiesta for it's a long story, but anyways,
I'm guessing something in your, yeah.
I went there because I used to help Carlo Cannon with some of his stuff.
Yeah.
And like he usually showcases some wrestling stuff at the Filipino Fiesta. And every time I go there, people are trying to talk to Carlo to me. And I'm like, I have no idea what you guys are saying.
What the hell? Where's this Fiesta? How come I've never heard this? I'm assuming this is in Melbourne. Yeah.
Yep.
Carlo, come on, man. We're the same blood. Come on. You got to invite me to these sort of things. I got to go. So if I was to guess. And I mean no disrespect when I say this, and because I'm Asian, I can say this. Hang on, are we in the same breed? Are we jungle Asians?
No, I don't think so. I don't think.
I was going to say Cambo, but okay.
You're close. You're close.
I might. Okay. Reveal it.
Yeah, I'm Vietnamese, bro. You're so close, man. Just go next door, bro.
I should have got it too.
No, but I get that so many times. I get either Filipino.
Hang on, but we are in that family. So like,
I know
when I know people use that term as derogatory, but I always thought it was kind of cool, like being called that. I was like thinking, yeah, you know, we're a little more harder, a little bit more feistier, you know.
Yeah. I always see Filipino as more like the what do you call it? Like more of the gangster side of Asia. That's how I always seen it. Because I've been to like a bunch of Filipino parties, and man, like things that go on with like that I've seen, I'm like, ah, man, like it's like night and day compared to like Vietnamese parties. Like obviously we have the same core component where we got karaoke, we've got food and all that stuff, but I think Filipino is a bit more hardcore.
Oh yeah, we are. Especially when we have when we play the tequila game. That's Have you ever done that before? Where you drink tequila and you have to eat chili?
Nah, man. But I've been off alcohol for like 6 to 8 months now.
Mm.
And a couple of nights ago, we had the Mayhem Showcase, and I was like, yeah, like we're wrestling. You know, I've done my stuff. And I'm like, oh, fine, I'll just have a drink. So I had like two cans of minus 196, and I could not walk straight, bro. I was just like, ah, like, I was trying to like grab onto anything to keep me stable. But like, I'm a lightweight now, man. I used to drink so much, and then I detoxed myself for not drinking. And now I'm like, oh, well.
No, I've been off alcohol for over 10 years now, and I guarantee I probably, even if it was just like maybe a sip of vodka, I'm done. I think I think my threshold now is just pretty bad, because it's like, not to go too much detail, but you know, I don't ever remember being hungover the next day. But yeah, that's just a little insight to my life. Now, Happy, firstly, talk me through, how did you actually find wrestling and discover it?
So it'd probably be, the year would be 2018. That's when I kind of like stepped my foot into it. So once I finished high school and all that stuff, I got myself into filmmaking and just that media aspect. And we joined a thing in RMIT. There was a wrestling news outlet thing. It's like it was called One Fall. And I was doing a few things with them. Like I was doing camera work. I was doing like small producing roles here and there. And like they did a lot of Australian wrestling coverage. And I was like, there's no Australian wrestling. What are you talking about? The only thing at the time was WWE. And that's about it, right? Like TNA was there, but like nobody really talks about TNA.
Mm.
And then I was just like, oh yeah, like I'll just sink my teeth into this. And then like on the show, we had people like Gino Gambino, we had Robbie Eagles,
wow,
we had Tome and Stevie Philippe, and we had like a lot of like big Australian names there. And I was just like, wow, like wow, I didn't even realize we had Elliot Sexton, or I can't remember what his name was, his WWE name is, but yeah, we had like a lot of those people there, bro. And I was like, at the time I didn't know like how big these guys were gonna be.
Mm.
So then I was just like thinking like, oh yeah, like these are just like local wrestlers. And then a couple weeks later, we had our own wrestling show at the studios and stuff like that.
Mm.
We had like Jonah Rock, we had like Bronson Reed now, and we had like all these like interstate wrestlers wrestling there. And I was just like, wow, this is cool, man. I want to be a part of this. And,
wow.
And one of the segments, we had Carlo Cannon
Mm.
come in, and I was just like, wow, this guy's cool, man. Like, I kind of look like him. so we all did our thing. And then I think I went to my first indie wrestling show. It was BCW 11. And mm-hmm. that was when, like, the Lucha Underground guys came down. So we had PJ Black, and that's the only guy I remember there, because I'm a big PJ Black fan. So I was just like, oh yeah, I'll come see what this show is all about. And then that was the first time I saw JXT, Dowie James. I saw like Carla Cannon, Sketch. They were all like at that show, and I was just like, wow, this is something different. Like I didn't realize there was Australian wrestling. So
yeah,
I can't remember what led to it, but I remember Carla Cannon was on one of our segments. And then I just hit him up. I was like, hey man, like I want to be part of this thing, right? And then he turns out he has a wrestling school, Vicious Pursuit. And I was like, oh yeah, cool, I'll join that. And then like we had a deal where, because I was very hands-on with the filmmaking stuff, so I was just like, how about we'll do a trade-off thing where I will do this filmmaking stuff for you. I'll like film all XYZ for you. In return, he'll teach me how to wrestle. Mm. So I was like, that's a pretty cool deal. So I took it, and the first day of me training, like the tryout thing, oh bro, it was the worst like cardio skirt circuit, like whole like thing. It was bro. Like he got us to do like run around a block, which was not bad, but then like he got us to do all these circuits, and I knew it was going to be hard, but like, because I did like MMA and Taekwondo and stuff like that. So
yeah,
I was aware of what I was getting myself into. But far, man, like wrestling is a whole different beast, man, because it's just constant cardio, constant circuits. And I'm just like, man, like, but then I think like it's important to do stuff like that, especially wrestling. Because
yeah,
like, I understand like there's two things just from wrestling, different wrestling schools is like, yeah, it's good to have these like intense cardio, intense training and all that stuff. But then like, what do you learn if you're constantly getting beat up and you're like constantly in pain and like, you can't even go to work the next day because like you're so sore, and then like, you can't go to work, you can't get money, you can't go to the next wrestling class. So like, that's why I'm like, anyways. So like with Carlo's thing, like, I couldn't get into the ring until I did like 800 squats. So like,
oh my God.
I did 800 squats. Like, I think I was like up to like 400 something. And Carlo said that if you can get into the ring if you get 800 squats done, right? But if you didn't get it done within that session, you have to do it again the next session. And it's just it was the worst, man. And then, yeah, so like once I got it done, I got into the ring, and then basically he just beat the f*** out of me, and I was just like, but I'm not enjoying this very much. So I only did that for a few weeks, and then MCW just announced that they had an academy.
Mm.
So I was, I think, their second batch of people, and when I joined the MCW academy, there was like 30 odd, like, athletes that were there. So we had footy players, you had rugby players, soccer players, you had like people who were doing gymnastics and all that stuff. Yeah, so there was 30 of us there, and then by the end of that session, that tryout, we had only 12 people left. And like, just the whole time you just see people like throwing up here and there and people just like dying, man. I'm just like I'm not, like, at the time I wasn't the fittest person.
Mm.
So I was just like thinking like, oh man, I've got a lot of competition here. And when like, you know, all these people started dropping out of the tryouts, I was just like, like, I think I've got something going on here. But I guess like those type of training and like them pushing you to your limits, it kind of shows you like resilience and how bad do you want it. So that's what I like about those tryouts. So, but when I was at MCW, no shade at MCW, I think they've got like their own criteria or their own like way of teaching, but I didn't get a lot out of being at MCW.
Mm.
So when I was there, it was like 6 months of us learning how to do a neck breaker, and that was basically it. And then like there were guys like Anth Kava and stuff like that who were in the advanced class, but there was no gateway or no pathway to get to where they're at, because I'm just like thinking like, wow, like the last 6 months I've just learned how to just roll, do the bumps. But, and the only thing I got out of it was doing a neck breaker. And I'm just thinking, like, there's got to be another way. And then through doing that, like, media stuff with OneFall, they got me to talk to PCW, because at PCW, they had their Grand Slam show, which was, like, one of the, like, they had it at a basketball stadium. It was a huge show.
Yeah, the one in Dandenong.
Yeah, yeah. So, So I went there and then helped film their shows, and then PCW reached out to me and they're like, hey, do you want to do some of our like weekly Ignition shows? And I was like, yeah, fuck it. Yeah, I'll do it. And then from there, like, I realized they also had an academy there. And I was just like, fuck MCW, I'm going over here. Cause like, I was like, I'm there like every week. I may as well do their whole like academy. But then the thing is, like, I live in the West Side, right? So like,
it took
me an hour there and an hour back. So at the time I was doing night shifts as well. So like it was just like,
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Then I had like 1 to 2 hours of sleep, then back to work, and it was just like it was a whole thing. But then like when I was there, they basically told me like, if you want to do wrestling and all that stuff, you'll do anything to be here. So I took that to literally, and I was there for like 6 days a week, just driving there, 1 hour there, driving 1 hour back, and like it was like it was a bit of a travel, but like at the same time, like I got to learn how to wrestle. So I was at PCW for like probably 3 years, and like they basically taught me the fundamentals and all that stuff. And then it was a lot of fun because I've made a lot of friends at PCW, and like now seeing them now, like you got guys like Robbie Thorpe, Shen, and Levi Nixon and Sam Yannis, like they're all like doing so much better now. And I'm just like thinking like, wow, like these are the guys that I was training with, and now seeing them doing all these like great stuff now. So I was just like thinking like, man, I'm like very honored that I got to like train with these guys. And then then something happened, I can't remember. I think it was COVID when it came around. Like we had that period where we weren't sure if we were going to go back to wrestling, or we weren't sure if the lockdowns were going to end. And then from there, I just kind of like lost interest in like in wrestling, because like after the COVID happened, I went back to training and I lost all my touch in wrestling. So I was just I don't know if I could do this anymore. And one of my two matches I had a concussion in one of my matches. And I took a choke slam from Jesse Adams, who is the commentator at the at PCW, their weekly show. But I took a choke slam from him, and this guy's like 5 foot something, like he's pretty short. And I took a choke slam from him, and he concussed me, bro. And I couldn't understand, like, because I've been kicked in the head before, like a couple months before that, and like I think that caused me to have a concussion. But then like, it wasn't too bad, but then this one was pretty bad, where I took a choke slam from him and like my head hit the ground, and then like I just had a memory loop where I couldn't remember like going out.
Was this actually in the ring or actually on the ground?
It was in the ring. I'm too much of a pussy to take a bump outside. I took a choke slam from Jesse Adams, and my head just hit, bounced off the mat. And like obviously, like, you know, you try to tuck your chin in when you take a bump, but I don't know what happened, but I probably did. But then like just the whiplash, I just like hit my head on the mat. And then from there, I was just it's funny because that match, everybody in that match forgot their spots, but I remembered everything. So I kind of like had to ring general in a sense. And then turns out I was the only one that forgot like everything when the match was done, because like I just had a memory loop and I didn't even remember going out for the match. Because like,
whoa.
Because there was like, apparently it was like 10 minutes of me just having a memory loop, asking the same question for like 10 minutes. And then like once I got out of that memory loop, I was just like, did I go out for my match? Like I was just like stressing out for a sec, because I was just like, wait, did I forget? Did I just sit here staring at the ground for like 10 minutes? Like I forgot to go out for my match. And then I was about to leave for like the entrance. Like, you just had your match. And I was like, oh, like, I don't know what's going on, you know? So,
I don't mean to laugh about that, man. It's just like the, as someone who has been concussed as well, I know what you're going through.
Oh, bro, like,
it's just like the 10-minute loops and everything, and you're about to walk out.
Bro, it was the worst, because I was just like thinking, like, fuck, did I even go up on a match? And then, like, I sent a text to my girlfriend, but I don't even remember texting her. Like, and then in the text, it says, I think I'm concussed. And I'm just like, all right. Then apparently I sent that. But then, it was the worst. But then,
it could be a lot worse. You go, like, I think I'm concussed, and then 2 seconds later, I think I'm concussed. 2 seconds later,
But then, so after that, I couldn't be bothered traveling like an hour to PCW. So then, I ended up joining the Relentless School of Pro Wrestling. I ended up joining there because it's a lot closer, and it was actually Kid Valiant that recommended me to train there. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll do that. And then Yeah, and then I was doing that for a few months, and then I just lost interest in wrestling just because it's just like I spent like XYZ, I spent like 3 years taking bumps and trying to learn the fundamentals, and then COVID happened, and then when I joined the school, I was just like, I just can't get this. So then I just like, you know what, I'm just gonna take a break from this. Like I just walked away from the industry, and then I ended up getting myself into a new hobby, which is getting into motorcycles. So I just started getting into like just riding with different types of people and groups of people. So you got your Harley guys, you got your sport bike riders. So I just started getting to that, and then that was probably a year just doing that, and then I got myself into a motorcycle accident. So what happened was there was a guy that was in front of me. He was doing the speed limit, 60 kilometers, and I thought he was going too slow because, you know, nobody goes the speed limit, right? So I went around him, and I probably did like 80 to 90 kilometers just past him, just like, shoo! And then as I was going, like, I didn't see a pedestrian island because this was like in the evening. So I just hit that son of a bitch, and then I went off my bike, and then I just hit the ground, and I started sliding, and I just see my bike sliding next to me, just sparks and everything, and I'm just like, man. And then I look at my bike, and I'm like, oh man, at least the bike's all right. And then I ride the bike home, and then I look down, and my leg's just covered in blood. And I was like,
God.
The whole time, I'm just worried about my bike. I wasn't even worried about me. And I was like, fuck, man. And then, like, as I was sitting there trying to pack myself up, I'm like, fuck, like, if I can bump on the road, I can bump in the ring again. So I hit up, and I was like, hey, man, put me back in, coach. And then I joined one of their sessions, and ever since, like, I just kept it consistent, and then I got back into wrestling. So
yeah
man,
well, I was like, I could have just lost my leg, but the bike's okay. Yeah, all right, cool, yeah, very good.
It is always like that, man. It's because like of course, like, you know, your life is valuable, but like when you look at, like, you know, like 5 to 7 grand on the bike, man, you're just like, man, that's like a lot.
What are you driving though? What exactly are you driving?
So at the time I had a Suzuki Boulevard. And then one, I sold that, and then I ended up getting myself a Harley Davidson Fat Boy.
Ah. So
the same bike as Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Terminator 2.
Yep.
Yeah, T2. And then, I like Harleys, but it's too much bike for me. So I rode it for a few months, and then I was just like, you know what, like, I'll just get something a bit smaller. So I sold it, and now I ride a Triumph Bonneville. And that bike, I love the modern classic looking bikes. Like they just got a bit of character to them. So yeah, man. Like
I love Harleys, but the only problem is they're very uncomfortable, especially
the A-pages. Yeah, I had A-pages, bro.
My God, I remember. My mate had one, and I was like, "Oh, do you mind if I just drive this around? I just wanted to see how cool it is. I just want to, you know, take some pictures. You know, being what was I? I think I was 24 at the time. You know, and doing that, and it was like literally like 2 seconds. I'm like, "Oh my God, my arms really hurt. Like, and I'm like, "Nah, I'm off. I don't even want to take the photo anymore. Nah, I'm done."
Yeah, like I was part of a. I wouldn't say I was part of a biking gang, but I was part of a group of boys that rode Harleys, and we would make a muck out of town. Like, we would go to St. Kilda and just start making noise and doing burnouts. And yeah, I was just like, because like at the time, I just wanted to be part of them because like I was the only one that didn't have a Harley. So I got rid of my bike to get a Harley. And then like, this is probably a lesson to everybody. Like, you know, just...
Don't give it to peer pressure kids. It's just not on.
The thing is like, even like that Fat Boy cost me a lot of money just to be a part of a group that I ended up not even liking the Fat Boy. Like, I love the Fat Boy, but I didn't like riding it because it just felt like I wasn't wholeheartedly into the bike, right? Like, I didn't ride the bike to its limits. Whereas now, like with my bike, like I'll be in second gear and I'll be already 100 kilometers an hour just down a straight road. And then I'm thinking like, yeah, I'm going to get myself into a lot of trouble, but I just love riding my bike because I just ride it like as if I stole it.
Oh, my God. Out of all the things that we could talk about, I didn't think it was going to be motorcycles, but
hey,
here we are.
Hey, man, that's fun, man. Like, it's the thing about motorcycles is, like, it's very therapeutic. You know
yes,
what
it
I mean?
Is.
Like,
it is. It is.
like a lot of people will go on to like you know, like life's hard, right? So people go through a lot of things, and some people turn to alcohol, some people turn to pills, some people turn to like a lot of things just to cope. Whereas for me, like therapy, like helps to give you the tools, but it doesn't help you with coping with whatever. They just give you the tools, right? But sometimes, like for some people, when they get given these tools, they don't know how to use these tools, because like the therapy, they just give it to you. They don't actually walk you through it, right? Whereas with me, in my case, like my therapy is going on my motorcycle, just riding and just see where the road takes me. Just because there's a different type of like thing where it's just you and the bike and you just ride, right? Mm. And then just clearing your head. Because the thing is, like when you're distracted, you know, you're in danger, right? Whereas when you're on the bike, you're constantly alert and you're constantly like just want you and the bike on the road, man. And that's just, for me, that is therapy, right? So if I'm going through a lot, I just go on my bike, just hit the freeway, man. And just keep riding.
I'm just pitching like a good session on a bike would be, you know, let's say a 32 degree day, sunset, going down Sir Kilda Beach on the bike.
Oh, right.
Oh my god! Right. I'm just like, I'm pitching as you're saying on therapy. that's what's going on here. Like, oh god, I wish I could do that, but I don't have my license. So,
yeah, man. Nah, but that's for me. Like, I enjoy doing that, and it's a lot of fun.
Mm. Well, let's get back into the wrestling, because as much as I'd love to talk about you know, cars and motorcycles with you, we're here to talk about your career. You had a gimmick first before you became Happy Kite. Firstly, how did you come up with it? What is the gimmick itself, and why the change?
So before Happy Kite, I was Jin Virgo, and that was a character that I came up with doing backyard wrestling. Like, if you go onto YouTube, you can probably see it. Like, it was when I was, like, 16. I bought myself a 16-foot trampoline, and we created our own backyard wrestling promotion with all my high school friends. And it's funny, like, out of everybody that was doing the backyard wrestling, I was the only one that walked up actually doing wrestling. that was a lot of fun. But, like, yeah, if you go onto YouTube and, like, search in, like, local backyard wrestling, you'll see a pre-wrestler Happy Kai Jin Virgo
for those listening or playing at home, the link will be in the description. That one I'll try to find as much as I can, because yeah, I think that's going to be funny. I think that might be a good thing for us to watch on Reaction Wrestling Wednesdays.
Yeah, I mean, when I watched it a couple of years ago, I thought it was the cringiest shit ever.
Yeah,
but like now looking back, I'm like, yeah, it's cringe, but it's funny, you know, because it's just like, What did we know back then? We only knew what we saw on TV, and we just copied it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so like Jin Virgo came from that, where I was just like, oh, I want to bring Jin Virgo from the backyard scene to the actual wrestling scene. So I was just like, yeah, fuck it, we'll do that. And then I didn't know what character I wanted Jin Virgo to be. So I was just like, oh, fuck it, we'll just go with like CM Punk's Straight Edge Society gimmick, where it's, you know, the savior and all that stuff. And I was just like thinking like, oh yeah, we'll just keep going on with that. So I had like a thick book to replicate a Bible.
I loved that when you sent me the message of the a little bit mini bio about Jin, and you just written, I bought a religious book. I'm just like, it's called a f-ing Bible, dude.
Yeah. That's it, man. But like, you know, I didn't want it to be like, I didn't want to like bring the actual Bible. That's sacred. I'm just like, you know, so I went through my bookshelf, and I saw the thickest book, and then I'm like, take the cover off, just keep it like as black, like a black, like generic book as possible, and we'll keep that as the gimmick. And like, the thing is, I was pretty green when I was doing the gimmick, so like most of the stuff, like, it just didn't connect. And like, also, like, as if you're green and you're a heel, it's kind of like probably the worst thing to do. Look, I don't know, everybody's got their own thing, but in my opinion, I think if you're starting out, I think being a face is probably the easiest than being a heel, because being a heel, you do a lot in a match. And then that's why, like, I think I set myself up for failure, because I was a heel and I didn't have the tools at the time to carry a match as a heel. So that's why, like, it didn't connect as well. And then, like, I wasn't connected to the character, because it's just like, I'm just me, there's me, and there's a character, right? And it just, it was just night and day, and it just didn't connect because I wasn't connected to that character. So with doing that, like a lot of people in the crowd can see that. They can see that I'm half-assing this character. It's because like I wasn't connected to that character. So when I joined their Rumble in their Grand Slam Rumble, the second one, and like they basically got me to got somebody to rip my book off, like my gimmick book.
Oh, I forgot about that. I was like thinking, I watched that. I'm like, yeah.
I was only in the Rumble for like 10 seconds, but then they ripped my gimmick book.
It was actually five, but yeah.
Yeah, and then like, yeah, then I was like trying to think like, I don't have my book anymore. Like, what do I do? Like, I was just like, I was at a stage where my character had no character and I was stuck in limbo. And I was just like thinking like, what do I do, man? Like, and then like, I try to ask the people at PCW, at the Academy, like, what do I do? And they didn't really give me anything to work with, so I had to like come up with something on my own. So then I was very big on into Eric Andre, like I love that guy. So I was just like, you know what, I wanna kind of get some influence from that guy. So then I went a 180 because like at the time, like my social media always had Happy in the name,
yeah.
And Happy came from when I was in high school. There was an anime called Fairy Tale. you know, and there's like a blue cat and his name's Happy, and I don't know what why, but I was just like, I like that name, I'm gonna put it in my social media bios. So then like every nickname in my social media always had Happy in it, so that's where Happy came from Fairy Tale. Like, and the thing is, I never watched the whole series, you know, I only watched like two episodes, and then yeah, to the cat, and I was like, yeah, I like that cat. I like the name Happy. So yeah, that's where Happy came from.
I thought Happy was gonna come from Happy Gilmore, because I was thinking, no, who the f- calls himself Happy?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I got it from an anime. Bro.
Got it from an anime. He's only watched two episodes.
Yeah, bro. No, but then like yeah, so. Back to PCW. So yeah. I changed my name to Happy. And then so that I was able to do like stuff like different segments where I was brainstorming different things like Happy. I can have a talk show segment called Happy Hour. You know, I can do X, Y, Z. And there was so many things that I wanted to do. So then like I had like my own talk show. And then like, Happy was just me. I felt connected to it because it was just such a goofy character. And like, I remember I did something during a match where like, you know, in wrestling, matches can go to man. Like, you can like plan all this stuff, and then it just gets tangled, and then it's just like when people don't know what they're doing, it's really hard to do a match like that. And then,
yeah,
for some reason I was thinking I could tell the match was going to, and I was like, you know what, I need to come up with something to kind of save this match. So I was like, you know what, I entered the ring and I purposely tripped on the rope, and then I just like ate shit. And everybody in the crowd just popped for that. They're like, oh, what an idiot.
Who doesn't love a slip and taking shit? Oh, you know? Bro,
like, because like the match was going to shit, man. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do something. And then I just like ate shit. People ate that shit. They're like, oh, it's the funniest shit ever. And then, you know, like that's the thing that they remembered, you know? So all the botches and all the like the mistakes that I made in the match, they forgot about it because they saw me eat shit. And then like, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to like really hammer in onto this like goofy character, right? So I just started saying the most goofiest shit. We had a promo where like I don't know why I came up with it, but I said that I was gonna kill two stones with one bird. and then everybody was like, what the fuck, that's funny as shit, you know, like everybody popped on shit, and I was just like, oh, I'm gonna keep going with it. So everybody was hot on Happy because, you know, like it's a funny character, right?
Yeah.
PCW, they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then the week after, they're like, all right, we're turning you heel. And I'm like, what? What? Like, people like me, you know, as a face. You know, it doesn't make sense to turn him heel. So then they're like, oh, you know what? Well, this is what we want it, and then we're going to go with it. Then when I did a bunch of heel, it's just like, it didn't feel like me. So that's why I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to walk away from PCW for this time period because, like, it just the character Happy and what they wanted, it didn't work. So that's why.
And that's understandable. If two parties cannot come to terms with what you want to do, especially, you know, your career and the character, you know, the mutual thing is to say, okay, it's been great. Maybe next time, and then go off, you know.
Yeah,
not,
yeah. So,
yeah.
yeah. And then when I started, so that happened before I took my break from wrestling. And when I came back, I was just thinking, like I don't know what my character is anymore. Like, because, like, you know, they, like at PCW, they kind of like stripped down that goofy character to become just a guy in limbo. And then now I'm just thinking, like, well, how do I reinvent myself? So it was during a practice match at Relentless where I was like thinking, like, I need to come up with something goofy, right? And I've always had the idea, because my name's Happy, it makes sense that my finishing move would be called the Happy Ending. So then, like, I forget that, like, you know, like a lot of people, when they think Happy Endings, they think of Thai massage parlors, right? So I'm like thinking, like when I said, like, or when I did my gimmick of being like, oh, I'm gonna give this guy a happy ending, everybody cracked up laughing because that's what they think about. And then it came up from an accident, because one of, like, a friend of mine at a training was talking to me, and they're like, hey, why don't you just become a masseuse? And I'm like, ah, that's not fun. That's funny. That's funny. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be a masseuse. So,
see, I was hoping you were going to say you actually are a masseuse later on. You know, like, I thought that would be, like, completely full circle. But damn. Because, like, the original plan I wanted to do for this episode was, like, you giving me a massage and we're just talking. But, like, I don't know if he's actually a masseuse. I'll have him on the show first and then maybe do it on the next episode.
Hey, man. I know a few rubber tugs here and there, so if you want a massage, I can give you for free, man.
We'll talk after the show.
Hey, don't get too excited, yeah.
Oh, but, like, so this gimmick though, like, did you want it to be that flamboyant? Because like, when I remember the very first promo I saw, it's ironic because it was on the same show, MXW's All For One, they played your promo during the halftime. And I was like, what's this going about? And then you come out, I'm just like, oh my God, I fucking love this guy so much. Like, this is the type of shit that I will watch religiously. I fucking love it.
No, like, it's just because, like, while I was brainstorming this character, I was just thinking, like, how do I be different, you know? So, like, I know he's a goofy guy, but then, like, how do I make it different to everybody else? So that's why, like, I started doing all the flamboyant stuff, and then I just love, like, just being different, right? So, like the character is very unorthodox, so, like, I could massages people during a match, like, that's weird, you know? But, like, fun, like, that works in my favor because that's how I throw you off and that's how I get on top, right? So,
you know what I mean? Oh, I got a dirty mind. Like, who doesn't like to be on top?
Yeah, right. Top, bottom, left, right. I'm everywhere, you know what I mean? No, but that MXW show was really, really fun. Like, it's just cool that I got to see a bunch of familiar faces and stuff like that. So, yeah, man, like, it's a lot of fun. But, yeah, this Happy Kai character, like, the reason why he was Happy Kai is because, like, I did a promo where I was just calling myself Happy. But then JC was saying, like, you need to have something. You need to have more substance. Maybe add a second name. So I'm thinking, like, I need to think of something. So the first thing that came to my mind is Kai, because Happy Kai has a kind of a ring to it. And then I forget that, like, a lot of people have Kai in their last name. So then now I guess I'm related to Dakota Kai. There's another guy with the name Kai in Brisbane somewhere. Like, I can't remember his name, but, like, there's a lot of people with, like, the first name and Kai, and I'm just like, wow, I didn't think that far ahead. But
I thought you were going to say Dragon Ball Kai, so I was like, oh, okay.
I think that's what I was talking about, yeah. Yeah. But then, like, yeah, so I was just like, you know, I'll just run with this. But, yeah, then ever since, like, because, like, I love working in front of a crowd, like, when I don't plan anything, so I just, like, try to be my character in front of the crowd. And then when people eat shit up, like, wow, like, I ended up getting Happy Ending over, which is crazy because, like, I was at Renegades a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And, like, I was, like, thinking, like, oh, these guys aren't going to get me, you know, they're not going to get it. So once I got out behind the curtain, I came out, people just love that. They're like, because, like, when they see me, right, that's the first thing they think about. They're like, like all white robe and everything, and he like, yep, that guy's definitely a masseuse.
Yeah, I popped hard when I was watching the Rumble, and I was like, oh my god.
Oh bro, oh man, it was crazy, man. Like, because they get it, you know.
Yeah,
like it's good, it's cool when you come out, you don't have to do anything, but when they look at you, they get it. That's like a really cool character, man. Like even like I love like stuff, even like guys like The Undertaker, right?
Mm.
Like, you hear the gong, you like, oh, The Undertaker. But then when you see him out there, you're like, yeah, I get his character, you know. Mm. And it's just like I love like characters that are like that, where like, because like there's so many like people that I've seen in the wrestling where they come out and you don't know who they are, you don't get this, and they're just like generic black trunks like wrestler coming out, and you're just like, oh, I guess that's generic black trunks. But like but like I just love like character wrestlers, because there's not enough of people that are doing the funny stuff in wrestling. Like everybody wants to be the hard, you know, like they all come out there. Yeah, it's true, man. Like everybody wants to be the hard man, and then like, you know, like that's why, like,
I'd be very careful using those words, because I think Robbie Parker will be coming after you, man. That's his moniker.
Well, like, everybody like wants to be like the tough guy, right? So yeah, like you have a show full of people that are like tough guys, right? If you have a show full of guys that are like tough guys, and then you have a guy that's the goofy one, people are going to remember the goofy guy, because that's different. Whereas, like, you know,
exactly, it's like the Casino Battle Royal, the very first one for AEW. Like, I remember jack shit about that fucking match, and I love that match, by the way. But I can't remember anything except for when Orange Cassidy comes out, does his shtick with Tommy Dreamer, and gets thrown out. That's the only thing if there's only one thing I can remember, it's that.
Yeah. It's you know, like, I know it looks silly, right? Like, the stuff I do looks silly, but, like, man, like, if I can get a reaction from people, man, like, I'm going to keep doing it, because that, you know, because, like, a lot of people are afraid to look a bit silly, but when you really look at it in the grand scheme of things, like, us as wrestlers is pretty silly. Like, we just, it's all our work, you know? So we're all, like, you know, like, essentially fake fighting, you know? Mm. And it's just, like, that's pretty silly in its own right, you know? And it's just like, you know, like, but then, like, you look past it, everything we do is silly, you know? And it's just, you know, like, we just have to work around it and get people to just get it, you know? So that's what I think. But
no, but I don't like using that word, but when people say it's fake and all that stuff, I'm just like, you know what? You watch movies, yeah? You watch TV shows and you believe that shit. So why are you knocking on the sport that's pretty much a live action movie or a TV show?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm not gonna say who the person was, but there was a American political advisor, and he said everyone's in on the joke. I'm just like, it's not a joke, man. It's like, are you saying that entertainment's a joke? Like, it's just fun. Just enjoy the fucking product. Don't worry about it, man.
Yeah, for sure, 100%, bro.
Yeah. Well, Abby, like, just getting to know you, I need to ask this question. Not the staple question, Baju, but this one. Because I'm always curious when someone wears this color tights. Why white? I know you got the robe, but why white? Easy to stain. If anything should leak, it's the first thing you're going to say. Why white?
You know what? I didn't think that through, bro. I didn't think that at all, man. Because I remember the look that I was going for was Alberto Del Rio's, like, I think 2013 run, where he just had the white tights with the gold writing. I was like, yeah, I like that. I want to go with it. So I went, like, I put all my eggs in that basket. And then I think I didn't realize it was a bad idea is when I had Sid Parker's podcast with Erica. And he at the end of the podcast, you have a match with Sid Parker.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's easy. And then the guy wears face paint, yeah, like green face paint, and I'm just like wrestling, I'm doing my thing, and then towards the end of the match, I look down, there's just green smears all over my trunks. fuck, I didn't think this through, man. And then, I like it because it's the white. Like, what I like about the white is, like, it's like purity, right? That's what I was going for, right?
Yes.
Purity and, like, you know, sense of, like, you know, enlightenment. That was the idea I was going for. But I didn't think that, like, it was going to stay that easy. And then during the Renegades Rumble, Lockie Hendricks got busted open from Gino Gambino. And his blood, there was a pool of blood in the ring. So then when I took a German suplex and then I got taken out, I looked down and just blood all over my robe and I'm like, this is a bad idea. But man, I'm gonna die on this hill, so I guess I'm gonna go along with it.
It's just because every time I see someone wear white, I always remember this lives rent free in my head too. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of him, Alberto Bravo. Used to be in PCW. He had this beautiful attire. So, from memory, it was the Italian flag, and the white was right in the middle. He was in a match with, I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Tommy Hellfire. And one of them got busted open, and literally, there was a stain, and it just was right where you don't want to have it. And me and probably much the front row were cacking ourselves. Not gonna say because I know there's children that listen to this. Ask your parents why we find that funny. but we come to the staple question here on what if it's cool. What is something that you find cool that nobody else does?
Well, I think vintage motorcycles are cool, like the modern classic motorcycles. I think that's cool because if you look at it from like the motorcycle community. That type of motorcycle is kind of a very niche thing to get into because it's very like it's a very aesthetics bike, but it's not a comfortable bike. That's why a lot of people don't like those type of bikes. But for me, man, like I love the look of like just the old classic bike, but I don't want to get a vintage bike because it's too old, right? So that's why you get the best of both worlds where you get a modern classic where you get the look of the 60s, but you get the feel of the modern day.
Yeah,
you get stuff like ABS, you get all the safety features and all that stuff, and you don't have to worry about trying to go through the struggles of the people in the 60s where they have to constantly like pull the choke, have to like kick the kickstart, like
readjust, you know, like it's they're very uncomfortable bikes, guys. They really are.
Yeah, but then like I really do like that aesthetic because it's like if you love your bike and if you understand your bike, you know how to ride it kind of thing. And that's what I like about the 60s. But then me, I don't want to go through that struggle of trying to figure out like, how much choke do I have to give the bike? How much do I have to crank it and all that stuff? Whereas now I can just push a button and it turns on and I don't have to worry about it. So I like the feel of the 60s. Whereas with my bike, like I get that feel where it's comfortable bike. But it's a pretty fast bike. So, like, I'm able to, like, go places. And, like, with the motorcycle community, it's very similar to the wrestling community where it's, like, very, like, they have their own people kind of thing. And then they prefer it like that. Whereas, like, with the thing that I'm into with the modern classic bike, it's, like, it's got character to it. It's, like, people will look at you. It turns heads, you know. It's probably not the like technically best thing that's on the market, but when people look at it, they're like, that's a nice looking bike, you know? And also funny thing is when I got into motorcycles, I thought I was going to get chicks, bro. Like I thought it was going to be like, I'll be riding down the bar and a girl turns her head and I'll be like, want to ride, girl? Right? And then she'll be like, yeah, I want to ride. And then like, I get to ride around and I'll be like, yeah, man, can I get your number and stuff like that? That's what I thought. But not, you know what I get? I get old dudes coming up to me, be like, you know, I used to ride back in the day. You know? Yeah, that's cool, man. And it's like, yeah, I had the same bike. And then they'll go on to like a 20 minute like talk. And then the thing is, like, I don't like backing out of conversations. So I just like to just like, oh, yeah, cool, man. And then like I did that for like a solid like hour or two, just like this guy trying to talk his backstory about it to him being into motorcycles. I'm like, I honestly don't care, but like I can't say that to him. So I'm just sitting there and this old guy just talking to me and I'm like, oh, cool, man. But the thing is, I get more attention from old dudes than I do girls, man. And then
So the next question is, how many numbers did you get?
Oh, how many numbers? I got more old guys' numbers than I do girls' numbers, which is probably a good thing because, like, now I've got a girlfriend, so I guess that's okay.
Yeah.
But then I realized, like, not many girls care about motorcycles, man.
No, they don't.
That's bullshit, man. Like this whole idea, like I thought, like, I was gonna get chicks, but no, instead I got like dudes, old dudes. That, you know, and I'm like, oh,
hey, at least your girlfriend doesn't have to worry about you messing around with having a bike, you know, because it's naturally known that old dudes are going to come out, you know, looking at you and talking to you, not girls.
That's it, 100%. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, Happy, it's been an absolute pleasure. Where can our audience find you on all your socials?
I am at Happy Kai Pro on Instagram. And I think I've got TikTok, but I'm not sure how to use it. So I guess
let me just double check that because you're not the first one to say I've got TikTok, I don't use it, and I don't know the username. Hang on.
I'm pretty sure I'm Happy Kai Pro on TikTok. Yeah, but I don't know how to use TikTok.
Oh, just if you. Oh yeah. I've got you here. Yes, I am a professional. It is. Happy Kai Pro. Worst case scenario, if you want, you know, get me to do the stuff for you, I can do that for you.
Yeah.
I'm happy to do that.
But yeah, basically Happy Kai Pro on all my social medias. I've got a YouTube channel, Happy Kai Pro Wrestler. So I guess I just put up random matches and stuff there. And yeah, that's basically it.
I think you need to put some of the backyard stuff on there too.
Also, you can probably find me on all the Mayhem shows. I'll be there definitely. And just keep an eye out on social medias or different wrestling promotions. Maybe I'll be there. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll be backstage giving people back rubs. Who knows? but it's been a pleasure hanging out with you, man.
It's all right, man. Anytime. Happy Kai. Thank you for being part of What If It's Cool.
And that's the end of that episode. Want to be featured on What If It's Cool or know someone with an amazing story that needs to be told? Reach out to me. I can be reached on whatifitscoolbusiness@gmail.com. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. Want more from What If It's Cool? Make sure to check out the YouTube channel. You can find the latest episodes of Mudbanging Around, Reaction, and of course the podcast. And don't forget to follow What If It's Cool on all socials. You can be found at What If It's Cool. Keep that support coming. And until next time, I'll catch you on the next one.